Welcome to News Briefly, the student media show where you get the facts before your short attention spans know what hit them.
It's The Mast for people who hate reading, News at 9 for people who hate watching, and Facebook for people who prefer accuracy. I'm Helen Smith.
I'm Julia Grosvenor. Let's get started.
The PLU Jazz Ensemble is exploring the connection between music and religion. Wednesday, March 15th, the Jazz Ensemble performed selections from Duke Ellington's Sacred Concerts. The songs were paired with pictures from the St. John's Bible. Director David Deacon Joyner and religion professor Doug Oakman collaborated on the project. Oakman read quotes from Duke Ellington, Martin Luther King Jr., and Martin Luther at points in the concert.
My mother started telling me about God when I was very young. There was never any talk about red people, brown people, black people, or yellow people, or about the differences that existed between them.
The concert was put together as a part of the School of Arts and Communications series on reforming. The concert also featured a performance by tap dancer Alex Dugdale. Ellington's music, paired with pictures from the St. John's Bible, explored the relationship between music and religious expression. Ellington also made connections between his music, his faith, and his culture.
Now, this is how Duke Ellington saw it. The music of my race is something more than the American idiom. It is the result of our transplantation to American soil.
Deacon Joyner chose quotes which highlighted Ellington's intentions in his music. Ellington focused on concepts like freedom, politics, and race.
This week, The Mast magazine taught readers about art which comes from Parkland. Parkland is home to many artists, including Art Chantry, whose claim to fame are the posters which read, "Parkland is burning." Another famous Parkland artist is F. Mason Holmes. Holmes taught art at PLU and became famous for his landscape paintings. The artist responsible for the murals on Garfield Street is Ed Kane. Kane also painted murals in many of Parkland's staple restaurants, like Reyna's and North Pacific Coffee Company. Nick Butler is a Parkland artist and former PLU professor. He creates short films, comic books, and storyboards. He has even had his work displayed at Emerald City Comic Con. One of Parkland's most recent art installations, the Parkland Mural, was a community project by two PLU students. Alumna Sayeri Rafay and Carly Brook held open forums about the project to create an authentic representation of the community for the community. Although Parkland is on the lower socioeconomic end, it has a rich history with the arts. Parkland's art reflects its resilience in the face of obstacles.
Another issue that PLU faced head-on this week is safety in Parkland. PLU students often talk about how Parkland is a dangerous place. Two students, Brianna Wiersma and Emily Kilfett, gave their takes on how dangerous Parkland really is. Wiersma feels that Parkland's reputation is mostly due to its socioeconomic status, and feels that Parkland is not more or less dangerous than anywhere else. She frequently walks home by herself at night without incident. Wiersma encourages students to work to recognize the humanity in Parkland rather than believing the myth. On the other hand, Emily Kilfett is a little more cautious when walking off campus. Kilfett recalls an experience where a car had followed her for a ways on her walk home one day. However, since then, Kilfett has made it back and forth to campus safely. She also utilizes campus safety's ride service when she's on campus late at night. When she does walk, Kilfett likes to take notice of the houses, which she calls different and charming. The houses remind her that everyday people just like her live in Parkland too.
Many of those people in Parkland take the initiative to be leaders in their community. Some of these people will be familiar to the PLU community, in particular. Cheryl Mays Komen is the office manager at Trinity Lutheran Church right across the street. Komen is dedicated to making Trinity Lutheran a welcoming space for the community. The church is used by the music department for voice lessons and also has a preschool. Komen helps the church provide the space for those community activities and many more. One of those activities is led by Diane Cruz. Cruz is a volunteer at the Franklin Pierce Youth First Coalition, headquartered in the church's library. The coalition organizes events for the Parkland community. Cruz is dedicated to providing youth access to resources and making Parkland a safe space for families. Another community leader is Keith Knutson. Knutson is the branch manager for the Parkland Spanaway Library. The library hosts many community activities, like a flu shot clinic and classes on preparing for tax season. The library also provides access to the internet and space for the community to hang out in. Well, that's all the time we have for in this block. After the break, we're going to be hearing from Matthew Salzano about the Mast's time in New York. Stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. Before the break, we heard about Parkland's community leaders, and right now we're going to go to an interview with Matthew Salzano, former editor of The Mast, to hear about The Mast's time in New York.
Okay.
Okay, so we heard that you guys went to the College Media Convention in New York, and we were just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about, like, what the theme was or what you guys were learning there.
Sure. So the College Media Association is a collection of faculty who are all members of this association of student media advisors. So it's people like Professor Joanne Lazowski and Rob Wells who are at universities advising students. And so they come together and they draw in professional media practitioners, so journalists, but also like entertainment people on occasion, or even like upper level managers of media, along with like students and student advisors from all around the nation, to kind of collaborate and learn together. So it was Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday talks this year, although the Tuesday talks were often canceled because of snow. And they were about a variety of issues, so photojournalism ethics to how to cover a music festival, to gender and design, all sorts of really interesting things. And those are hosted by students. I hosted a talk. They're hosted by faculty, and they're hosted by professional journalists. So, like, an international correspondent for the Daily Beast gave the final day's keynote, for example.
Cool. So what was the talk that you hosted? What was that about?
Sure. So my talk was called The Critical Student Newsroom, and it played off of my work as editor-in-chief of The Mast this fall and part of this spring, in how we used information and literature and theory from the humanities to shape our journalism, both how we talked in the newsroom and then also what our reporting ended up looking like. So I talked particularly about the German sociologist Jürgen Habermas's public sphere, and how that influenced like our moral and ethical obligation for doing journalism at PLU, and then also about Robin Lakoff's 1973 article Language and Women's Place, which is about marking, so talking about how our perspective on Emol and Lady Lutz was deeply shaped by that critical feminist lens taken to our campus.
Cool. And we also heard that you guys won an award, which
we
is
did
awesome.
Thank you. The Mast has never won an Apple Award before, at least to our knowledge, and so we won first place for best newspaper in the nation for four-year universities with under 5,000 students. So, I mean, that's a big flippin' deal. We're on the radio, so I'll say flippin', but it really is. I mean, we were just so honored to have won that, and we kind of knew we were going to do it. Like, we looked back on our journalism over the past few months, and we were like, this is really good. Like, this is high-quality journalism. Like, we've really been serving our community. We've really put in hard work here, and we think we might do this. And then to watch our name pop up in that first slot for Best Newspaper, we just went wild because, I mean, it's the first time The Mast has won a national award, particularly first place, in a long time.
Cool. So did you guys submit specific pieces or the newspaper altogether?
So you got to submit up to three issues of the newspaper. So we did the Every Man a Lute newspaper, so that was November 4th, the November 18th protest issue, March on Red Square, and then the most recent issue, which was the PLU $3 million problem.
Awesome. I had one more question. Did you know some of the criteria that you were submitting for?
It's a holistic judging experience, right? Makes it sound like it's a media thing, as if it was an exhibit. Not true. But it's, so they're looking at everything from your copy and whether it's well edited, your design, if the layout is easy to read, what stories you've selected, if your reporting is ethical, if your writing is good, if your photos look nice. You know, they're really looking at every aspect of the paper to make sure that it's doing its job. The stories that do well to win are like the stories that we publish. So issues that are a big deal. Like if we had given them three issues where it was like a sports team won again, or parking is an issue, or like the classic college student media articles, we probably would not have done as well as we did. But because we've been able to do some really fantastic feature stories this year that were clearly making change at our university because we were drawing them to the attention, or at least partially because we were drawing them to the attention of the public, they noticed that type of thing and really try to lift those up.
Cool. Well, I think that's everything. Thanks for talking.
Yeah, of course.
That's all the time we have for this block. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about Parkland's community classroom and the campus safety report from last week.
Welcome back. Before the break, we heard from Matthew Salzano about the mass time at a conference about college media, and right now we're going to talk about Parkland's community classroom. Business professor Mark Mulder made the city of Parkland his classroom last fall. The consumer behavior course studied public perceptions in the Parkland community. Students discovered through interviews that the city is perceived quite negatively. Most locals find the area to be unsafe, largely due to secondhand stories of criminal activity. The students were then asked to make campaigns to improve community perceptions, and resources proposals included an open forum, positive affirmations, and a community cookbook. Students were inspired by a number of sources, from Humans of New York to music videos. Senior Allison Sitter was a member of the group which proposed the community cookbook, called A Taste of Parkland. The students were motivated by the idea that food brings people together, and the book could connect the locals by sharing their stories. Sitter says that the class challenged her to think of herself as a member of the Parkland community, even as a temporary resident. Mulder stresses that community engagement remains key to improving perceptions of Parkland.
Now, let's look at the campus safety reports from last week. If you would like to check out these campus safety reports on a weekly basis with an interactive map, go to mastmedia.plu.edu to check it out. On Monday, a technical malfunction set off the fire alarm in Harstead Hall. The issue was fixed without need for the fire department, but residents did have to evacuate the building. Additionally, an iMac computer was reported stolen from the residential life office in Anderson University Center. On Tuesday, complaints of a marijuana smell in Tinglestad Hall led to the discovery of an alcohol violation, but no drugs were found. Medical aid was requested in Olson Gym when a PLU alumna dislocated his knee while playing basketball. On Wednesday, Central Pierce Fire and Rescue assisted a student who had a seizure after a run. She was transported to the hospital. Campus safety prevented two middle school students from shoplifting items from Old Main Market. An ice cream cone was recovered, and the students were let go after giving their names. Over the weekend, medical aid was called for a spectator struck by a foul ball at the baseball field, and a student in Steuben was vomiting after consuming alcohol off campus. Both were determined to be safe and left the scene afterwards.
That's all we have for this show. It was news, it was brief, it was news briefly. If you want to know more about any of these stories, go to mastmedia.plu.edu. I'm Helen Smith.
I'm Julia Grosvenor. Please tell your friends about this show if you liked it, and we'll talk to you again next week.